Good morning. First, give an honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Wood, associate ministers, deacons, all our leaders, disciples of New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, visitors, friends, and especially this great missionary department here at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church. They deserve a big round of applause. If you come out here on the second Saturdays and the third Saturday, you will see why they deserve a big round of applause. Thank you all. Good morning, saints. First, I want to thank our pastor for entrusting me to say a few words about mission and about my missionary trip to Puerto Rico with the men's own mission from Lock Curry Missionary Baptist Church, from Lock Curry Foreign Mission. And for that, I am so grateful. Well, to tell you the truth, if someone would have asked me 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years ago to go on a missionary trip, I probably would say no. I can remember Mary asking me to go with her time after time, and I would just wouldn't go. I would say no. I think about the time I was in service, and all those nights I slept on a steel floor of an all personnel carrier. So my answer was always no. But God have his way. Our no's become yes, our can't becomes I will. In 2023, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it became life-changing to me. I thought about life a little different. I value people more. When the doctor tells you that you have cancer, and after the shock, reality sets in. The ones who have had that told to them know what I'm talking about. Now, God has you in a place now that he can really use you for his glory. Well, in 2020, I had signed up and paid for a half marathon. It was deferred due to COVID. So it was coming back up in March again. I told my doctor about it. Doctor said I wouldn't have the energy to do it, because I will be in the middle of a radiation treatment. It would be nice if you could, but I don't think you will be able to. Well, as a member of Men's on Mission with Lock Carey, they had been asking men to sign up to go to Puerto Rico on a short-term mission trip. I didn't sign up because I wasn't really ready for a mission trip. But through fasting and praying to God about the side effect of radiation, and the doctor said that I would be struggling with energy, I was so afraid for the first time that I could remember in a long time. So my daughter told me that I couldn't run the race, but to give it someone else, and I agreed. So one morning, I was laying in bed, praying and meditating to the Lord. He spoke to me as plain as day. He said to me that he would give me the strength to run that race and for me to sign up for the mission trip to Puerto Rico, and he would get me through the mission trip to Puerto Rico as well. Let me make this clear. I didn't make a deal with God. He made a deal. Or you can say, he made me a promise, and I accepted it. I didn't even ask him in my prayers to get me through the race. I hadn't even signed up for the mission trip until he spoke to me. So I was obedient. I signed up for the mission trip to Puerto Rico. So as time went on, no one had asked me for my marathon pass. So I told my daughter that I want to try it. After pleading with her and my two boys, they finally agreed, because they had been with me to all of my doctor's appointments. They answered all the questions doctor asked for me. They asked all the questions they wanted to know, and I should know. And all I do want, and all I have to do is show up with my body and Miss Mary, and they will take it from there. So they knew all that the doctor had said and knew all about the treatment that I was taking. But after pleading with them again, they all agreed, but they said that I had to listen to her, do what she say, and she would stay with me, beside me throughout the entire race. I agreed. And as time went on, I asked my doctor again. I told him that my energy level hadn't gone down that much, and I felt like I can do it. And he gave me permission to do it, but told me to listen to my body and stop if I had to. I thanked him. I ran the race. I completed it, the half marathon, in a little over 16 minutes a mile. I praise the Lord. I give God all the praises. Fast forward a little bit so I can stay on my time limit. Now I'm getting ready to go on a missionary trip to Puerto Rico. 12 men have signed up, and we begin having classes on orientation, preparation before the mission trip. First, orientation. You must understand the purpose of your mission and the importance of preparing mental and spiritual for the mission trip. You get medical records, get clearance from your doctor, get a packing list of things that you need to go on a mission trip, because plans change time to time. But remember, God is ultimate in control. So be flexible and be understanding. Humility is the key to successful serving on a missionary trip. Prepare your heart and ensure you'll be ready to serve alongside and under local partners serving in other places. You want to be intentional, respectful, and careful of your local culture surrounding clothing and food. Put it simple, judging is one of the most adverse things that you can do to other people when you judge someone due to their dress, their culture, and food. You put yourself above them. This is not the heart of Jesus. This means adapting even to the most conservative of places. Remember that you are representing Christ, and you want the people to see his light, and that's our goal. So get ready to work. The people who are answering the call to go have to be ready to answer the call to work. Come ready to sweat, to be sore, to be tired, and to serve. It's not a vacation, and make sure you know how to present the gospel to the people that you will be coming into contact with. Love the people that you are serving. This is the key. When you see people, how the Lord sees them, your heart grows tender, and you want to do whatever it takes for them to know and follow hard after Jesus. So let's go. Let's love, let's serve, let's partner, let's be flexible, and let's learn from others, and let's share Jesus Christ together. Now I'm getting ready to go on my first missionary trip to Puerto Rico. Saturday, June the 22nd, 2024, we flew from Raleigh, Durham, into San Juan, Puerto Rico. We got there at 6 p.m. in the afternoon, a beautiful city with large buildings, nice hotel, nice resorts all around, surrounded by water with nice breeze and wind. But it was 110 degrees. But it didn't feel like it. So we got into our rental SUV that has been provided for us and traveled around and drove about 65 miles northeast up to the mountain where we was serving. As we were traveling, the geographic change began to change. So no more big buildings, no more resorts, a very few houses that were standing. Some had been torn down, some were started to rebuild again, but that had not finished. Every so often you will see a store surrounded with roadside market covered with a tarp, and they will have outside houses, portable toilets, and portable toilets. Finally, we got to our destination, a place called La Cruz, a large center block building on the top of a mountain, out in no man land, nothing close by. We get out, we go in, we see no TV. It was very hot. I said to myself, well, they'll turn AC on since we are here now. But little to know, there was no AC to be turned on. And it was hot, 100 plus degrees, with six fans blowing hot air. My mind went back when I was a little boy growing up. We had no AC either in our home. So I grabbed my phone to call home. No internet service. I am in a place where English is barely spoken, no air, no internet, no TV to look at. I am totally out of my comfort zone. Lord Jesus. And our mission leader said, well, we have a mission to do. Let's prepare our hearts and mind to deal with whatever God has set before us. First, we toured the building. The bathrooms, not so cool, but we can make it work. Conference room, that's where we meet every morning for devotion and prayer before breakfast and reflection in the afternoon after returning from our assignment. Sleeping quarters, bunk beds, then the kitchen or the dining room where we'll be eating. Our leader said, go grab your bag, go get your bunk bed, unpack them, you'll sleep on the bottom and use the top bunk for you store your belongings. And meet back up front in 20 minutes and we'll go eat what they have prepared for us to eat today. Carlos was the one who cooked all our meals and was the caretaker of the building. Today we had peas, some type of bean mixed with rice, some kind of pork, fruit, and water. It was very hot, with windows open and fans going. Then after dinner, we goes into the conference room to make plans for Sunday service. We paired up in twos to the devotion each morning and reflection each day. I had Wednesday. Then we mapped out where we'll be going to do missions for the week. So by bedtime, you are so wet with sweat, you go take a shower and the water has no force. It comes out like a hose pipe. No pressure at all. After lying down in that hot building, I reminded God what he had promised me. And he said to me, just trust me. I made it through the night with just a little sleep. I got up Sunday morning. We drove about 25 miles to a local church. The pastor's name was Diego. His wife's name was Angel. And they speak the little, no English at all. But they had a daughter named Amanda, and she spoke English. The service was in Spanish, and after the service, they fed us again with beans and rice, fruit, cake with Kool-Aid. This is the second day. We had beans and rice every day for dinner and lunch. They took pride in cooking our lunch each day. Now we'll talk about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday while showing pictures. This is a church where we visit on Sunday, and this is the church we worked on. It hadn't been repaired in 60 years. The congregation that in that church was about 19 people that had a congregation. They was 65 and older. When we got there, the weeds had grown up, and we had to pressure wash the driveways, the walkway, and we had to cut the trees down around the building so we can paint it. There we are now, we're power washing the buildings. And those people are so friendly. They are so thankful for everything you do. I have never seen people with so little and so, but so thankful for what you do. That's the pastor and his daughter. That's out there power washing the driveway. We're getting ready. We're painting the building now. And the building, that the picture you see, it was after we paint the building. There was people who had so much pride. They didn't want you to see the building as it was. We wasn't allowed to take pictures. They asked us not to take pictures, and we didn't take pictures. All the pictures we got is the pictures they took and gave us. We was in the kitchen, they fixing beans and rice and pork. But every day they would have beans and rice. Next day it might be beans and potatoes. I ain't noticed, but it's always beans, beans, and beans. In the morning it was eggs, but cut up pork in it. And they cooked them on a lot of grease. So they give you a big portion every time. They want you to eat every bit of it. That's another house that we put tar on the top. We scraped it and repainted it. All the houses up there got bars around the windows. That's us on Friday afternoon. We're getting ready to leave. On Friday, we're supposed to be have a tour day, but that Friday, we didn't finish up that morning on Thursday. So Friday morning, we went back over and finished cleaning up. And we got the chance to go downtown to the beach. And this right here is a place called Old San Juan. That is where FEMA will not go and help people. Thank you. Let me see if I can get back where I was at. It was an experience that shaped your heart, mind, and soul. And reflection with Christ, and you felt like that you touched the hands of God as you worked harder than you ever thought you could. You fought through the heat every day. You were exalted every night, but it was worth it. When you saw the hope and joy and peace like never before in other people's lives, but you had to trust God. Now you understand the reality that God is over the nation, but not just over Fuquay, Raleigh, and Wake County. He's over the world. Can I have just a few more minutes? I want to share a little something about what the scriptures say about mission. Now, this is not a sermon. I'm not a preacher, but I'm just going to share a little bit what the scriptures say about mission. The scripture I'll be sharing will be Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Matthew 25, 35 through 46. And it says, and if I had to take a topic, which I would say, the Great Commission and the Great Compassion. And my question would be to the missionary of the day is, does mission matters? Does mission matters? Matthew 28, 18 to 20, when Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of age. Matthew 25, 35, 46. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, or needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do you see me hungry and you fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and we invited you in, or needed clothes and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and we go visit you? The king will reply, I'll tell you the truth. Whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you have did it to me. God gave Jesus the authority over the heaven and earth. And Jesus told his disciples to go and make more disciples with the same authority. Jesus still commanded us to tell others the good news and make disciples for the kingdom of God also. The platform Jesus' authority stands strong, but teaching all things and going to all nations seem overwhelming. To keep us from being intimidated by the challenge, Jesus closed with a promise. I will be with you always. In other words, Jesus said, there is no place that you can go that I won't be with you. I will give the word to speak and the love to share. I will be the one to empower your words, and I am the one who can break through the enlightening of people's hearts. We are sent out on a mission by a supreme Lord, and all his truth must be proclaimed. All people must have a chance to respond to God's love. But do not worry, he is not just a supreme commander, he also is a supreme companion. The mission matters. Yes, mission matters. You may have heard it says, it's not that the church has a mission, it's the mission has the church. It means that the mission is designed by God to give the church its identity. Mission is priority for what comes before an expression of the church. God formed his people first, then the church, because of the mission. The people of God have always existed because the mission of God. Jesus did not come to earth to give us what we understand as a mission. He came to give us one mission, the Great Commission. The mission matters. Yes, it matters. If anyone has a material possession and see a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. And in other words, if you have the time and the resource to help someone and don't, can you say you have love? The mission matters. Yes, it matters. Mission comes before the church. Then we should say that God's come before mission. Mission starts with the understanding that God we serve is a missionary by his very nature. Our God is a sending God. We see this expressed mostly clearly in the mission of his son. He left his throne in heaven. He left his throne and came to on mission and came down to earth to redeem mankind from liberation, from creation, from the curse. Mission is not something outside of God. It's a part of his very nature and his love. Do mission matter? Yes, it matters. One day, a father and his son was walking down the beach during low tides. As they were walking, they saw hundreds of starfish that were washed ashore, and they were dying in the sand. The son began to pick up the starfish and throw them back into the sea. And the father said to the son, what possible good do it do to throw one back? The boy picks up another starfish, and before throwing it back in the deep water, he says to his dad, for this one, I can't make a difference. Church, we don't solve all the problems of the world, but if you can help one community get access to fresh drinking water, do it. If you can help a prisoner feel free, feel forgotten, if you can help a prisoner not feel forgotten, go for it. If you can support a child with compassion, do it. God isn't commanding us to solve the problem of the world. That's what he does. He just invites us to engage in the work that he is doing. The God we serve is a missionary by his own nature. Again, I ask you, do mission matters? Thank you.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.